Vegas Golden Podcast, a player per day. We are entering the home stretch, more than half of the roster done, or right around half at the very least. And today, it is Shea Theodore, and a lot of guys excited for the season, but I got to think Shea Theodore, after what he's been through in the offseason, as excited as anyone, Justin.
Yeah, he's Case Kiefer. I'm Justin Emerson, by the way.
Exactly. In a rush this morning, Monday morning podcast, a little flustered.
Yeah, but no, I completely, like, yeah, what he went through this summer, he was very candid about it in his Players Tribune essay about his battle with testicular cancer and what he went through. And I think he, yeah, like you said, more than anybody else on the roster, is excited to just get to playing hockey, get to doing what he does best and what he likes to do best, and not have to worry about some really scary stuff over the summer.
Yeah, that story when it came out a week or 2 weeks ago, very scary, kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't have any idea, but seems all is well, and he's been around practicing, I presume. You've been down there every day. I know maybe not every day, but seems like all's back to normal.
Yeah, he got back on the ice late last week for the first time, and yeah, he's back to normal. He's fully healed, as they had said. And, you know, he said that he was super lucky that he caught it early and that they he failed that drug test at the World Championships in Slovakia, which triggered some that there was the hormone that was in there. They got him more blood tests, which confirmed the bad news for him. But the good news is that it seems to all be good to go. And here we are.
Yeah, pretty crazy wrinkle of that it all started with the drug test, and a lot different going in to this season. Even that aside, for Shea Theodore, if you just remember back to a year ago at this time, he wasn't even with the team. Yep. in the holdout. He was kind of the big talking point going into camp, was where are they going to figure something out? They ultimately did, but you know, I do think that might have set him back a little bit at the beginning of the year, not having that ice time. And I know he was keeping in shape, he's a professional, but it's just a little bit different. And I think, like, it builds some continuity when you're with the team instead of elsewhere, you know, in that contract dispute.
Yeah, completely. It wasn't in specific to Shea Theodore, but I had written a story about Max Pacioretty and how he kind of, you know, he came in, same thing, at the end of training camp last year, or I guess at the start of training camp, and didn't get a chance to be with the team over the summer. And obviously Theodore was, but it is different. It is different when you're not able to, you know, get onto the ice as soon as you'd like because you're in this contract holdout. And, you know, maybe one day Shea Theodore will have a normal training camp where he isn't, or a normal summer where he's not, you know, fighting with cancer, trying to get a new contract, or trying to make the team. So maybe next, not that those things are equal, of course. Yeah, three very odd training camps for Shea Theodore. So maybe next year he'll be able to just kind of go in with some stability over the summer, know that he's going to make the team, have a contract, and be fully healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up too, just so we give the full portrait, because he did have an interesting training camp 2 years ago too, going into the inaugural season, because he was a guy that talent-wise clearly looked like he should be on the roster, but they only had so many spots. He was still young. I'm not exactly the contract expert, but there was some reason why it was smarter to start him down in the AHL, and they ended up going that route.
Yeah, it's that he was waiver exempt.
Okay,
so
exactly.
So they could send him down without having to subject him to waivers, and he was down there for like a week before he came up. It is, like, you might forget that Theodore and Alex Tuch both didn't start the inaugural season with the team, which is weird because by the midpoint of the season, they were crucial cogs to the team, and they clearly are now. But
and living together.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still are. I assume after those new contracts, maybe they parted ways. But
yeah,
I do remember
yeah.
That
once,
first year.
Once you get that big contract money, I think you don't necessarily need a roommate anymore. No, it's – and like we had mentioned, Theodore's a guy who, you know, I think I've been pretty honest about how I feel about a lot of these guys. Some guys I think are going to be good. Some guys I think are going to be not as good this year. But I will say that there is no player who I'm expecting more of a breakout season from this year than Shea Theodore. I am buying Shea Theodore stock. I think he's about to have a tremendous season on the ice.
Glad we hit on one. I feel like, not that we've done a ton of defensemen, but this might be the most positive I've heard you be about a VGK blue liner. All in on Shea Theodore.
Shea Theodore is, in my mind, a star in the making. I think he's going to be a crucial part of the Vegas blue line. I think he's going to be, if he's not already, a household name throughout the league. This is a guy who is going to get Norris votes at some point in his career, whether it's next year or not, I'm not entirely sure. But he is he is very good. And his contract hit, which is very reasonable. I think it's just trying to load. Computer's taking a load.
5.2 million annual average value.
That's going to be a steal. He's signed for that for the next six seasons through his age 30 year. So that should be before the aging curve starts taking a hit on him. He's very good, and he's going to be very good.
It's also interesting you bring up the contract, because not to say that people were saying it was a bad contract per se, but I do remember when they finally agreed to it, there were some people like, wow, that is a lot. This guy still has a little bit to prove to show that he's worth it. But especially with you're saying how well he grades out, in your mind, in the advanced statistics, it looks like now that is a good value, and VGK probably had some foresight to lock him up to that, because I guess if you just look at the pure production going into last season, it might have been a little bit of leap of faith, but he's already shown some signs that it was worth it.
One thing that I really do like what Vegas has done with their contracts is you haven't really seen any that are paying for past performance. We hear this a lot in other sports too, and not just in hockey, that with some contracts that you give out to some older players, it's like, well, they were stars. They're on the wrong side of the aging curve or whatever, but they've been so good that they probably should still be good. I think that in a couple of these contract cases, and I think Shea Theodore's example number one, the Golden Knights are paying for what they think is going to happen. And with Theodore, maybe it was, I don't know, you could probably argue if you wanted to, it was a tad of an overpay after, just based on the production of the first season. But if you just, I mean, they look at the projections and they see what I had just talked about, a future star in the making. I'll get into the stats here in just a minute. But this is a guy that you look at what some of the other defensemen around the league are getting paid, even on second contracts coming off of their ELC. I mean, just last week, Thomas Chabot in Ottawa signed for 8 years and $8 million. And, you know, Chabot's probably a little bit more advanced, you know, came in like that. But I mean, he's making $3 million more than Theodore. And if you're the Golden Knights, you've got to be thrilled with what Theodore's making.
Yeah, for sure. 24 years old, too. So definitely going to keep improving, you would think. Let's say you are placed in Gerard Gallant's shoes for a day. You get to structure the lineups. Who's Shea Theodore pair best with in your mind?
I love what he did with Braden McNabb at the end of last season. He played about a year and a half with Derek England. And was good. Once he switched over to playing with Braden McNabb, he was even better. His even strength numbers went up. His possession numbers went up. Scoring percentage chances went up. Even all of last year, Vegas generated 56.5% of 5-on-5 scoring chances when Theodore was on the ice. Those numbers were even better with McNabb. I love, and even from kind of zooming out of the advanced stats, just kind of looking at eye test on the ice, Braden McNabb, more of a stay-at-home defenseman, a lot like Derek England is, but Theodore was playing on the right side when he was with McNabb, so he was able to jump into the play easier, collect those D-to-D passes on the left side of his body, and jump into the play, and know that Braden McNabb's going to be back there to kind of cover for him, that he's able to jump into the plays, that he took more shots, the numbers were up, and he finished last year with 12 goals and 25 assists. Good numbers, and I would expect even this year, I think what we might see a lot of this year is a 4-forward, 1-defenseman set on the power play, with Theodore kind of running that point for a good majority of the power play, so we could see those numbers just jump up this year. I'm not a fantasy hockey expert. I would suggest taking Shea Theodore this year.
Yeah, so Shea Theodore as your defenseman in fantasy hockey sounds good to me, and a big reason why. Yeah, you've already hinted at it, of course, running the point in the power play, which makes sense to me. But I just think this guy's off. He's got to be the Golden Knights' best offensive defenseman, right? I mean, that's really his number one strength. He's so you can just, like you said, just the eye test. You can just watch and know, you know, for a guy on defense, he really has a slick offensive game. When his shot from the point is a thing of beauty, I think. You know, he's a guy that's going to wow you with that part of his game.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's got, you know, he doesn't necessarily have the rocket shot that you would think of from, you know, from these high scoring defensemen, but he's got terrific vision on the ice, amazing hands. Whenever he jumps into the play, it looks like a forward jumping up into the rush. I mean, he took a forward shift last year. I think in a pinch, he could play forward if need be. He did a lot of his damage at 5-on-5 last year too. So it wasn't just that his numbers were boosted on the power play. And I think that a full season of this, they know what they've got. Him and Nate Schmidt are kind of 1A and 1B among their defensemen. I think that there's going to be a larger separation this year. I'd mentioned that scoring chances percentage. That was fourth best in the league among all defensemen. Some of his possession numbers were among the top of the league. His takeaways, he had 63 last season. That was second best among all NHL defensemen and 10th best overall. So there's so many numbers, underlying numbers, that say that Shea Theodore is right on the cusp of being potentially an elite defenseman. And we're going to see that at some point, and it could be as soon as this season.
Yeah, I knew he was very good last year, especially by the end of the year. You know, maybe it's a little confirmation bias, but I do feel like he started a little slow after not being with the team. But like you said, once he got in the McNabb pairing, he was great. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is those numbers point to him being even better than I realized. I would have said he was probably there. Most valuable defenseman last year. I don't know. I probably might have been torn between him and Schmidt, but those numbers speak volumes.
Yeah, completely. And it was something that he switched over to playing with McNabb. He got to play on the right side, which is not his natural side. He had told us that the first night that he did it, that he had never played on the right side before. But he took to it and was awesome. And then he played there in the playoffs and had 7 assists in 7 games and scored a goal. So he was better than a point per game defenseman, admittedly a small sample size, but it's tough to do that in the playoffs, no matter how big the sample is. So yeah. I mean, this is all just long ways of saying Shea Theodore is going to have a very good season this year. I'm very high on him.
And poor Ducks. We've talked to a few players about making problems in the expansion draft, but they don't have a lot looking up for them right now. And if he reaches that peak that you're talking about, you know, one of the elite defensemen in the league, it kind of adds insult to injury that you got to play a guy in your division that you let go. That's going to kind of be a cornerstone of what looks like a Stanley Cup contender for the next few years.
Yeah, they've got him for 6 years. I don't think he's going anywhere, especially at that cap hit. And yeah, I mean, they gave up Shea Theodore to make sure that the Golden Knights took Clayton Stoner. There's a lot of teams that would like to have things back. I'm sure that the Ducks wish that they had Shea Theodore right now. Just kind of one more point. We had talked, too, about... we've mentioned, and I've written a couple of times, that I think that the Golden Knights' biggest flaw, and we talked about it in the Schmidt podcast too, is that they don't have a true number one defenseman in my mind. And I think that one of the biggest reasons why they haven't gone out and used that trade and draft capital to go get a number one defenseman is because they have Shea Theodore. And I think internally they think that Theodore can become that number one defenseman.
That makes a lot of sense. And definitely read between the lines and you get that picture. So all positive on Shea Theodore. We'd like to end these with a prop bet where we both weigh in on what we think the season holds. We use the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook when we can. However, they don't have one on Shea Theodore. I have been told they're going to be releasing a lot more. There might even be some kind of contest with VGK props going into the season. But right now, we don't have one, so I will have to make my own. I think I know where Justin is going to go with this, but I'm really weary. I don't want to inflate the props too much. I think Theodore's a main enough guy that we'd have to go with goals, and I'm going to put his over-under goals at 12.5. That would only he'd only need one more than last year, but that was a career high, so...
Yeah, when I when you set that for Nate Schmidt and you set his goals,
was his 12.5 too?
No, you set it for 10.5 when he had scored 9 was his career high, and I told you that was a terrible line and all that. You got very offended. It was funny, for Theodore, I don't think that's a bad line at all. And after everything I said, I think it may surprise you when I say I'm going to take the under on that. And I think it's not because I don't believe in Theodore, the goal scorer. It's because I think that he's going to rack up a lot of points on the power play this year. And I think if he's out there playing with Mark Stone and Jonathan Marchessault and William Karlsson, there are going to be other people that score goals on the power play, but he's going to get a lot of assists. I think that this is potentially a 60-point scorer, and I could definitely see a season for Theodore that's like 10 goals, 50 assists, something like that. So I think it's a good line. I am going to take the under on it, but I just think that we're going to see a lot of assists out of Theodore, a lot of puck movement and a lot of setting up other people. And that said, I could absolutely see him breaking out for 15 to 20 goals this year, too.
Right. Strong assist totals the last 2 years, 23 and 25. So you're right on with that. Typically in my... sports betting career, I feel like I filter out the outside noise, but in here, whatever you say kind of sways my opinion. You were so high on him and you're taking the under. I think I'm gonna go over. Might as well. You said he's a guy you want stock on, and I don't necessarily disagree, so I'm gonna say Theodore just nudges over that, has a good year, and we will be watching for sure. We will see if he turns into everything we think he can be. This has been Vegas Golden Podcast, A Player Per Day. For Monday, Shea Theodore, make sure you come back every weekday as we continue to progress through the roster.